Hey, this is Maggie.
And Ashley.
And you're listening to The Watering Hole, a place where animals and animal enthusiasts regularly drink. Every episode, we'll talk about different animals and why they're cool, from basic biology to the threats they face and what people are doing about it, all while under the influence.
I feel like we should cheers every
cheers.
Time.
Woo. So,
I wanted to add in, and Argos. So if you're watching on YouTube, Argos has joined us on the couch, and it was the only way really to stop him from whining. So
he has placed himself on top of my hand, so I can't really access my computer.
He's like, we're going to move this fast. You're not going to be searching for anything.
Nope. Can't do any of my research now.
Yeah.
Those of you who have been listening to us for a while may know that I am notorious for A, not remembering anything, and B, always doing my research just before we record.
Just in the nick of time.
Like, in the nick of time. So I was recording while Ashley was making us dinner, but I had already started drinking wine. So this research was done on an empty stomach, glass of wine, and I just wanted to get it done.
It's going to be good.
So
it's going to be great.
Here we go.
Well, I think it's also important to mention that, full disclosure into the world of our podcasting, we're batching these. So we're recording this right after the first episode, which, if you think about it, means we'll be more drunk.
Me be drunk.
Me be drunk. Because I also had I swear I'm not that drunk. For the return of the podcast, I had got a bottle of Prosecco, a cheap woman's champagne, to celebrate, and then I forgot to open it. So for the second episode back, we have champagne. Prosecco. But do you want to pop it?
It's still going to taste great. So fun fact.
Will it pop?
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. A bottle of Prosecco, people love opening it so that it goes pop.
Yeah.
It really shouldn't be opened that way. Like,
fine.
If you want to open it appropriately, it should just make the noise of, like, a baby farting.
Oh, my gosh.
So it should be like...
You can open it appropriately, and then I'm going to add in a sound effect that's like...
Sure. Okay.
Just fireworks. It's a big baby fart. Listen, that is a big baby fart.
Well, our friend did just have a baby.
This is for you, Steve.
Oh my, she was 8 pounds.
That's a big baby fart.
All right.
Sweet. Okay.
So I just have to chug this glass of wine.
Yeah,
so.
I didn't think that
Jesus,
went through.
Jesus, look how much. Here we go. Bottoms up.
The intent wasn't for you to have to chug. I just felt like it made sense to pop it at the beginning.
I love that you're creating yourself a rosé here with the dregs of that.
I am. This is technically a Prosecco rosé, I think. Yeah, I just spilled. It's okay.
Wow.
Prosecco rosé DOC.
It is a rosé. Look at that. You'd never know it by looking at the
color.
You don't
have to chug that. You can get that for mine.
Don't have to.
But mine anyway.
Anywho.
Okay.
Okay, so.
So let's dive in.
My animal is a really easy one.
I was going to be like, let's get right into it. It's been like 10 minutes of shooting the shit.
So my animal this episode, I think you're going to be able to guess it. Okay. Because it is the OG grumpy cat.
Is it that Tibetan? No.
You're on your way. It's also known as a manul, M-A-N-U-L. Autocolobus manul is its Latin name. And you know this. You know this creature.
I know I do. Why am I?
And I shouldn't even say creature, cat.
You it's know, a cat.
Mm-hmm. You know its name.
It's not the Tibetan one.
It's because you've had a couple drinks.
I know, there's only so many cats. I mean, there's actually a lot more cats than you think. Maybe this two episodes in a night wasn't a good idea.
I think it's a grand idea.
I think it's only going to be better.
Listeners should tell us if you like this.
Yeah.
Ollie, join us.
Original grumpy cat.
Yeah.
A grumpy.
It's a kitty.
Tell me.
It's a palace cat.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Okay, I was close.
So you guys have probably all seen photos of the OG Grumpy Cat. It is the fluffiest little cat. Imagine a house cat that really just only gets up to like 26 inches long and, you know, maybe 15 pounds. I just made that up because I don't remember.
Okay.
I told you I did my research like half-assed. Anyway, no. I was very serious about it. So imagine just a really fluffy, fluffy cat. They live in from the Caucasus Mountains in Asia all the way to the Siberian Mountains. I didn't know that there were Siberian Mountains. It's the...
It makes sense. Siberia.
South Siberian Mountains. So it loves the cold. Mm-hmm. It's also been found... It's
fluffy.
Yes, it's super fluffy. Its scat has also been found in the foothills of Mount Everest. So, like, this cat loves an altitude.
Damn. Loves an altitude.
Yes. It has the longest and densest fur of any cat. I wouldn't be able to tell you how much it has per square inch.
But a lot?
But it has a lot. Like, think of, you know, huskies have a lot more per square inch than an Argos. Or
definitely an Ollie.
Definitely like an Ollie. Or like sea otters have some of the densest fur. Think of that.
Wait, so it has the densest of all the cats?
Yes.
That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Damn, like even denser than a snow leopard. Damn. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
I like it.
They only live 8 to 9 years.
Huh.
That's a really short lifespan. And they do very poorly in captivity. Mm. And that is because captivity is almost always much warmer than what they are adapted to live in. And so because of that, they are very susceptible to the bacteria that we have in lower altitude and lower climates. Go ahead.
No, I just feel like warm weather animals do like relatively okay in colder climates. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like that happens a lot in like captivity with zoos. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the reverse. Like, we just can't get it that cold for them.
Right. And so it does make sense, because a lot of talk that I've heard with regard to climate change is like now diseases and mosquito-borne illnesses are moving higher up in altitude because it's getting warmer for these insects and bacteria to live, because that's how they thrive in warmer climates. It makes sense that a cold weather animal is now like, oh my God, I can't stand living in this heat. Ugh. Sounds like me. I can't stand the heat.
She is not a hot weather gal.
No, I complain anytime.
I'm not a hot weather person or a cold weather person.
You're just...
I'm a reptile and I can't regulate my own body heat, so I struggle. God.
I often joke that I'm a lizard or like a snake.
Yeah.
That I just like to sunbathe out on... Like, if it is really cold, just put me out in the sun for like 5 minutes and I'll be fine, but then I'll be sweating. See, that's the thing.
It's a very small window.
I'm always sweating. This kitty, they also have really tiny ears. I don't know why I decided to write this down. I mean, they don't look abnormally tiny, but it's also because of the cold.
I was gonna say, it makes sense because cold weather animals tend to have smaller ears.
Right. Like,
because think about your ears when it's really cold out. If you don't have a hat on,
it's miserable. They will do. Oh, I hate going for runs in the cold and forgetting my headband.
Little ear warmers, yeah.
Oh, it's the worst thing in the world. So I found that important to write down. They inhabit roughly grasslands and shrublands in the mountains. So apparently, when they are startled, they make a sound like a dog.
Oh.
Like a dog yelping or barking.
Like when you tried to pick Ollie up earlier. I don't know what his deal was. You just hit like a spot, because I pick him up all the goddamn time. I wasn't prepared.
I was so excited to see him, and he was just like, bah!
I know. It was such a weird...
I'm so sorry.
He was okay. He was
I know.
Okay.
I just made a noise that imitated you, and now he's looking at me so insulted. Okay.
I love that a cat makes a dog-like noise, though.
I know. It makes me like the cat better. Mm-hmm. Sorry, all you cat lovers. Just like a bunch of people just unsubscribed.
No more.
We love cats. My God, that was so obnoxious. Okay, but
I'll cut it out.
To redeem ourselves, we were filming cheetahs, and they're a cat.
They are.
So, okay, they are solitary animals, except when they mate. That's great. They prey upon lagomorphs. Throwback. Do you remember what those are, audience?
Bunny. Oh.
What was that hand motion you just did?
Bunnies, baby. Yeah. I don't know. I was excited.
It was good. It was great. I'm really thrilled that you were excited at the mention of lagomorphs. They will also eat rodents. They're highly specialized and good at being sneaky. They are masters of the ambush.
Boom, boom, boom. That's good.
Yeah, good to know. They were once hunted for their fur because it is so freaking warm. But fortunately, they are of least concern under the IUCN. And similar to if you guys all listened to our first episode this season, Ashley was talking about secretary birds and how they're found throughout Africa. These cats, the palace cat, is found throughout Asia. What are you looking up that you're laughing at?
No, I've just, like, finally looked up a picture of it, which, like, I thought I knew what it looked like, but it's just, it's so much funnier than I thought.
And it's so cute, and it just looks like it's really, it's kind of annoyed that but you're taking a picture of it.
But it also looks like its head doesn't belong on its body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for one, its head has a lot more patterning than its body. Like, its body's more, like,
so
that, isn't it spotted?
So that's another thing I forgot to mention is, like, I as I was describing this fluffy cat, it's gray with, like, speckled-y kind of fur.
Yeah.
But it also has a little bit of ochre in it, which is kind of cool. So if you're like me and you were like, I think I know what ochre is, it's like a yellowy orange.
Orange-ish. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, its face just has, they have, like, more definitive spots and, like,
yeah,
stuff, but their body's, like, much more camouflage-y, I guess. And then their, but then their tail has, like, distinctive rings.
I know.
Like, what happened in the middle of
you? So I would like to say that I knew why that adaptation evolved.
Yeah.
Like, what are they trying to blend into? I mean, I would assume if they're in grasslands and shrublands, but also in the mountains, like, there's a lot happening in that habitat in terms of textures.
What's going on?
Yeah, so their fur kind of resembles the varying textures that you're going to see in grasslands, shrublands, and mountainous cold terrain.
Yeah.
Another fun fact about them, here, I'll finish with two fun facts. One is that this particular cat is relatively old. It broke off from a common ancestor with other species of cats about somewhere between 4 to 9 million years ago. We don't know. So
small window.
We're pretty sure it broke off from an ancestor.
It has relatives.
That's where science ends.
It's where science ends and we begin.
And lastly, here's your fun fact about the palace cat. It's on the Russian 2-ruble coin.
That's a great fun fact to end on. Nice! It's a Russian coin cat!
I'm sweating so much.
You know what would be... It's because your dog is right next to you.
My dog is so hot.
He's very warm.
Oh my God. You'd think I'd need to be at Mount Everest right now of this little space heater.
You know what would be interesting? To, like, look up, like, all the different animals that's on different currency.
That's fun. There's a crab on an Iceland coin.
A crab?
Oh, I've got one in my purse. You want to see it?
Yeah. Wait, don't move yet. Well, because, like, South African money, I'm pretty sure it's all the big five.
Oh, cool.
So, like, it'd just be interesting to see, like, what's on.
Well, I'm sure there's a Canada goose on something.
They're named after a man, not the country.
That's why I said Canada goose is probably... I didn't say Canadian.
Well, they also have loonies, so there's a loon on their money. But we don't have any. We're just like, let's put white men on it. Sorry.
This is perfect setup there
anyway,
for yourself.
It's my turn. Okay, I didn't prepare any clues.
Great.
But I have a description.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the dimensions of this animal.
Okay.
And what I described it as, which I was 100% sober when I described it.
Great.
But it's very creepy. To see if you can guess it.
Okay.
I'll let you know it's a mammal.
It's a mammal. Okay.
Yep. Okay, they're up to 6 feet long.
Ooh, okay.
And weighing up to 70 pounds. So like a skinny, tall, nerdy guy slithering in the water.
So am I, what? Oh my God.
So for our listeners, Argos has decided he's leaving now.
It's, so my dog gets really,
abruptly.
Yeah, like he gets real upset if you sit on his paws and I just leaned into a paw.
Oh.
And so he was like, ugh. However, it is immediately 15 degrees cooler on my right thigh. Okay.
6 feet long, weighing 70 pounds. So like a skinny, tall, nerdy guy slithering in the water. It's a mammal.
It's a mammal. So is it a giant river otter?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So excited. I just thought they'd be heavier.
Yeah, because they're really big.
But they're just long, I guess.
And, like, they're not the cutest of the otters.
They're not. They've got pretty bulgy eyes. But, so, yeah. So, I'm doing giant river otters.
Mm.
Or Turonura brasiliensis.
Great.
The second part, I feel like I got. The first part has a silent P, I think.
A silent P.
Well, it's got a PT.
Which like is, pterodactyl.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
But, yeah. So, giant river otters.
Great.
They are the longest species of otter. Mm-hmm. They may not be the largest or the heaviest. There's a chance that sea otters are actually heavier than
really?
They are. But they are the longest species at 6 feet long. For those who don't know, there are 13 species of otter. These guys live in South America and they only live in the Amazon, Orinoco, and La Plata river systems.
That's it.
Which is very specific, I feel like. I mean, Amazon's pretty large.
Right.
But to only live in, like, three river systems feels, like, specific.
How super cool to think, I'm sure eons ago, a sea otter swam up the river and then evolved into this. Like, that's pretty cool.
They're part of the Moustelidae family, which also includes weasels, badgers, martens, and wolverines. So just think of your long mammals. They just got long bodies.
They're long. They got tails. I saw...
No, go ahead.
Just a funny meme that was like, God inventing the weasel was like, make an otter, but make it untrustworthy.
I feel like that's very true. But I do wonder if they are the long... Like, they're the longest... Longest species of otter, probably the longest mustelid, because I think they're the biggest mustelid. But if they're, like, body-wise, the longest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get like, what... I get
proportionally.
What, proportionally, yeah. Because
I feel like weasels are just long.
Minks.
Ferrets are long.
Mink are so stupid long.
Yeah.
So, they're all, like, slippery and slimy and sneaky.
I love them.
So, also, can I back up? Because you know I don't know the Latin names of things. Moustelidae. And how is that spelled?
Moustelidae.
So is there any chance, that's what I was thinking, M-U, is there any chance it's like muse? And the
like
reason...
sexy?
Yeah, and the reason I ask is because like these animals are generally so animated. Like are they, were they given this name because they are muses?
Yeah.
Like they're so charismatic and... I don't know. They can personify human
maybe
characteristics.
We'll have to, I don't know, but we'll have to look into it because I don't know where the name comes from.
Yeah.
I took a social organization of mammals class. That was the name of the class.
How cool.
And so I had to like memorize the names of different families.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I remembered Moustelidae as like musty as I just imagined all of these animals
probably
smelled very musty.
That's a great way to memorize it. Also, I clearly went to school for the wrong thing. Like, that sounds so fun.
I will say it's helped me more than I've thought. More in that, like, I say it in job interviews and people just think it's cool. Not that it's done anything beneficial.
It gets you jobs.
Other than that, I will say I'm pretty sure beluga whales got me my upcoming job.
New job. That is, I'd be impressed. How's it working in the dating scene?
Shut up. Okay. So anyway.
Doesn't work for either of us, apparently.
Listen. So they mainly swim by propelling themselves with their super powerful tails and flexing their bodies, which like it makes sense the way like even humans swim. It's mostly in your legs. Like your arms are really just like directional, really.
Just, like,
But isn't it wild how much your arms don't matter in swimming?
Like, for most creatures that are in the water.
It's all about your body and your legs. Arms are just directional.
I mean, and tails for...
And tails, yeah. If you have
for most...
If you got one.
Most things that swim, the tail, I would say.
Yeah.
But the front...
Isn't that wild?
The front extremities...
Are just
useless.
They don't matter.
So when I was snorkeling with whale sharks last month...
Humble brag.
I was using the GoPro that you kindly lent me.
And still haven't brought back.
It's on your fucking table. Okay. Where
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. You've been here for hours.
I didn't say it all. I just kind of snuck it onto your table. So when I was doing that with the GoPro, we were talking about arms.
Arms being useless.
I did nothing with my arms except hold the GoPro. And I was like, wow, like... I'm doing absolutely nothing to help myself swim right now. And then the camera footage that I got, perfectly still. Like, it was perfect because my arms had nothing to do except, like, stick out there.
Also, that camera stabilization, excellent.
Oh, my gosh. GoPro, excellent. If you want to sponsor
If you want to sponsor us.
Check out my whale shark video.
Ooh. But so other than that, they also have webbed feet. Obviously, that helps.
Yeah.
They have water-repellent fur to keep them warm and dry.
Useful.
They also have the shortest fur out of all otter species.
Well, that makes sense because they're found in the Amazon and South American rivers. Like, they don't need long
they
fur
don't
to
need
keep
it
them
for
warm.
They need the water repellency, but yeah, they don't need to stay warm. So they have guard hairs that trap water and keep the inner fur dry.
Cool.
It's kind of very common in a lot of water repellent animals. Also just like regular animals.
Like dogs.
Hairs. Yes, dogs. So guard hairs are longer in length than the inner fur coat. Also just on the topic of fur, one thing that's really cool is that they mostly have like brownish, mostly brown. And when they're wet, they look darker brown.
Yeah.
Fur, but they have white patches on their chest that are identifiable, kind of like, you know, a fingerprint or like
flukes
and stuff. They're different.
Their white patches are different.
Yeah, which I think that's part of the reason I really like them is that Ollie has a white patch on his chest.
And I said, I called him an otter when I came in here earlier tonight.
You did call him an otter.
Oh my God.
He's very much an otter.
That's so cute. Also, he just turned himself inside out and...
Oh my God, he's just a tiny little donut.
He was facing us and then clearly got tired of us.
And he was like, oh my God, shut up.
Turned his back to us.
I am trying to sleep.
He's such a donut. Right before you said the white patch, when you're talking about the fur, I don't know if the camera saw this, but I went like this. Because I was like, they have white patches.
I know.
But yeah, so exciting.
They're unique to the individuals. And then what's really fun is that they engage in a behavior called periscoping, which is when they basically come up out of the water and like look around. But a lot of times they're displaying their throats and their upper chest to each other, which could be like identifying who you are or like, you know, being like, I feel this way or something like that. But they're coming up and displaying their chest. So
that's so cool.
It's just so fun.
Like, I'm imagining humans doing that, like, because the water is just too murky or something. And it's like,
I'm here.
Hey, Dave.
Oh, yeah, there you are. Oh, there he is.
How are you feeling? Oh, you know, just stiff today, you know.
Dave. They can also close their nostrils and ears to keep water from getting into them. And they have whiskers to help detect the vibrations in the water columns as they're swimming, which I believe is called vibrissae, which is common in a lot
of... Which is what walruses have, right?
Seals.
Yeah.
Those pinnipeds. I love pinnipeds. But that's not what we're talking about. Anyway, so diet and hunting. As you might have guessed, these giant river otters, fish make up most of their diet. 6 to 9 pounds of fish a day is what they're consuming.
Wow.
Which is approximately 10 basketballs or 20 hamsters worth of fish. Which seems wrong because... Do two hamsters weigh as much as one basketball?
Probably.
I guess
basketballs
are
not that heavy.
But
is a hamster as bouncy as a basketball?
Listen, have you ever had a hamster?
No.
I hated my fucking hamster. Anyway.
So, who provided this?
So I have a website. that I know of that you can put in weight and it'll give you comparisons.
That's right. That's right.
You know I love that website.
I do remember it now. Okay, wait. So here's the crazy thing. They're eating 6 to 7 pounds of fish.
6 to 9 pounds
of fish a day. And they only weigh 70 pounds themselves.
Right.
Can you imagine if we ate 6 to 9 pounds?
That metabolism.
Woof.
Woof is right.
Oh my gosh, they must be pooping all the time. Or just burning it.
Or just burning that energy. Yeah. It's a great.
That's crazy.
I mean, fish is lean. That Mediterranean diet, basically.
So, or that Amazonian diet.
You know.
So, you might be getting into this, but don't giant river otters also have, like, gnarly teeth and, like, they're, like, kind of some of the most vicious of the otter species?
I don't actually get into that. I get more of their hunting, like, patterns.
Okay.
Kind of. I mean, they are big. They do have big teeth.
Yeah.
I know we all like to think of otters as cute and cuddly, but
these guys are just not.
They're predators like anything else. And if you're a large predator, you got large predator teeth.
Yeah, makes sense.
They also eat crustaceans, small caimans, and small anacondas.
Whoa, so cool. What a badass otter.
So it turns out their main competitors are actually jaguars and larger caimans are really who they're competing for food with. So sometimes they hunt alone, but sometimes they also hunt like a goddamn pack using coordinated efforts, which is wild. So one of the reasons I picked this species is because I have actually seen them in the wild.
No kidding.
I saw them in Peru in, I think, 2017.
What?
It was right before I got Ollie. So to no surprise, because they hunt in packs, one of their names that they're referred to is Lobo de Rio, which is the river wolf. So when I saw them, we went up to this area, to this like Oxbow Lake, which is basically a lake that's formed because a river has meandered too far and then breaks off. Mm-hmm. So we had to get out of the river, walk over to this lake, and we were in this lake. And there was like a group of like 5 or 6 of them swimming. And they'll swim together, and then you just see, like, one head poke up, and then you see another one, and they're, like, basically taking breaths as they're, like, hunting underwater. So, like, sometimes they, like, hunt like a pack. I don't know a lot more than
that. I wonder what's
that.
Happening underwater.
Right?
Yeah.
But, like, they're, like, looking at prey or something, or even just, like, swimming and, like, keeping an eye out where, like, someone just, they take turns taking breaths, so you just see heads pop up here and there. But it was like one of the coolest things ever is just
to know that
there's these giant otters in the water in front of you and you just see little heads popping up, taking their turns.
That is so
like, who knows what's going on underwater?
I mean, I'm also thinking like, I know who you were traveling with in 2017 and I'm thinking of that specific friend who was also a guest on our podcast a couple seasons ago. I'm imagining, like, an otter the length of him.
Right?
Just, like, swimming around.
Just swimming around.
That's
why not?
Crazy.
Right? Just, like, super cool, gigantic, but, like, an incredible hunters.
So do they have family structures?
Oh, my God. Look at that segue, because next I was going to talk about the fact that they live in family groups.
Yes.
So they live in family groups from, like, 3 to 10 individuals.
Oh.
So there's usually a monogamous group, monogamous parents, and then their offspring from different breeding seasons will stick around.
Okay, sure.
Until they've, you know, gotten old enough. Kind of like us.
Wolf pack.
Kind of like, yeah, in humans. Depending. Yeah, so anywhere from, like, 3 to 10 individuals. All related, usually. They live in dens, either in riverbanks or under fallen logs. And then they're also apparently very loud and are known as the noisiest of the otters.
I've heard this.
And have up to 9 different vocalizations. And then I took this today directly from Wikipedia. They have quick haw barks or explosive snorts,
ha!
Suggestive of immediate interest or possible danger. A wavering scream may be used in bluff charges against intruders. Well, a low growl is used for aggressive warning. Hums and coos are more reassuring within the group. Whistles may be used as advanced warning of non-hostile intent between groups. Evidence is limited. It's fine. Normal Newborn pups squeak to elicit attention while older young whine and wail when they begin to participate in group activities.
It'd be perfect if Argos could just whine right now.
Come on, Argos.
You're whining all the other times.
The one thing we brought you on for. Wait, so in terms of threats, so until the basically 1970s, these guys were hunted pretty extensively for their pelts, very water repellent, very warm. In the 1970s, though, there were protective actions taken that halted commercial hunting and removed the economic incentive for hunting. So that helped them recover a little bit. However, habitat loss, overfishing, modification of habitat for, quote, green energy like hydroelectric dams, mercury poisoning from unregulated mining, and fragmented populations are all things that contribute to their decline. They're IUCN listed as endangered. They're considered extinct in Uruguay and likely extinct in Argentina. However, there is an article that I found from 2021 that there may actually be a population in Argentina. So that's, there's an article from The Guardian that I linked here that I clearly was going to look at more and did not. But it looks like there may be a population in Argentina.
If it's from The Guardian, I trust that.
Yeah, right? 2021, so could still be around. So one of the reasons their recovery is slow is because they're slow to reach a reproductive maturity age and have a low cub survival rate. They also have large territories, which makes protecting them more difficult. It's hard to protect one river when it's the Amazon.
Yeah.
It's pretty big. But, you know, there's some hope. We'll link to the article in the show notes.
Great.
And we can read it all together.
Some hope. Well, I think also this new president in Brazil, Lula.
Yeah.
He seems like a much more progressive leader than that guy
previously
before.
Yeah. So I think there's hope for these guys. I mean, again, they're still around. It's not like they're on the brink of extinction.
But endangered.
But
come
endangered.
On.
Yeah.
I know.
But yeah. So that is the giant river otter.
That is fantastic. I've always loved this animal. I'm so glad that you did them. Ugh. Also, listeners just got so much more out of your animal this week than mine.
No, I think you got way more than you.
I talked
on.
About a fucking ruble.
I thought it was great.
Anyway, I think that was so much fun. I was so happy to listen to the giant river otter.
I'm glad.
They're so cool.
They are really cool. And they remind me of my dog because of the white patch. Anyway.
He's a little otter!
And he is a little otter. We'll post a picture of Ollie. He's an otter. Mm-hmm. But just as a reminder, we are animal enthusiasts. We are not scientists. Always do your own research. We just want to get you excited about these animals, right?
Just like us, we're excited about them.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I think if I were to have a tight, like my lower third for every video I'm ever in, I just want to be animal enthusiasts.
Oh. I was like, lower third. It took me a minute to remember.
It's the little part on the video.
I know exactly what that is, but when you were talking about lower third and you were pointing to your hips, I was like, what is she referring to?
Yeah, I just want to be an animal enthusiast for the rest of my life.
That's fine with me.
But
do I sign us out or
no,
do you
I
sign
do.
Us out? Did I sign us out last time?
Yeah.
I did?
Yeah, you tried to do it.
Oh,
off
I did
of
it.
Memory.
I did it 96%.
You did 96%. Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you like our podcast, check out our Instagram at The Watering Hole Pod. Check out our YouTube if you're not there yet, The Watering Hole Pod, probably. And subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening to.
Wherever There's you're no listening two. To us?
Wherever you're listening. Stop.
Subscribe.
And give us a review. Oh my God. I'm going to start this over. If you like our podcast, check out our Instagram at The Watering Hole Pod and subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening. And give us a review. Oh, we need to rewrite that. It'll help us reach new fans and get them excited about wildlife too. You can also visit us online at thewateringholepod.com. Tune in next time to learn more about animals, their biology and habitat, the threats they face, and what people are doing about it. So do we think two episodes, one wine instance is a good idea?
I think this is a great idea. I think people are going to enjoy it so much more.